Hello and welcome to Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, where we talk about scientific misconceptions we all have, and we hope you learned something new about the world. I'm here with my co-host, Margaret Pink Pony Club Hanslick Burton.
And I'm here with my co-host, Camden Hanslick Burton.
Welcome to the show! Our first segment every week is where we share something we are excited about. Margaret, what are you excited about?
I am so excited to see some of my very favorite musicians, my very, very favorite bands coming up. This year, I have tickets to such acts as Chapel Roan, Orville Peck, Death Cab for Cutie, and the Decemberists. Yeah. It is a music-packed year. We never see this many people in the same year, but I am so excited.
I forgot about Death Cab. Mm-hmm. Wait, we have Decemberist tickets?
Yep.
When is that?
July.
Oh, that's in Denver.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. Wow. We are just a couple of music-loving guys.
Just a bunch of dudes. Yeah, I'm so excited. What are you excited about, Camden?
I'm very excited because on Friday, just a couple days ago, I got to perform for the first time at the Bird Comedy Theater, which is another improv comedy club in town. Mm-hmm. I also perform at the KC Improv Theater. And so that means I perform at two professional theaters on professional teams.
You're a professional.
Very fun. I also have my independent team that I am on, Car Sounds, which is the...
Beep, beep, honk, honk.
Beep. No, not honk. Oh. Beep. Honk. No, we don't honk.
Oh,
we
okay. Beep. You beep. Sorry. Beep, beep. Beep.
Those who know. But yeah, so just a lot of improv, but it's very exciting. It was very fun. Good crowd. It was first Fridays in Kansas City. So for those who know.
Crowded.
Very crowded, but very fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good time. Let's go to our next segment of the show called What Is That Sound? Margaret, cue the theme music.
What is that sound?
In What's That Sound, we keep with the spirit of the show, meaning one of us researches something the other doesn't know about, except here it is a sound that Margaret this time doesn't know.
No, I don't.
I'm going to play it, and Margaret, you have to tell me what you think it is.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think so.
All right. Here's your first shot at it.
That is horrible.
Yep.
That's, as Katya would say, sonically challenging.
Yeah.
An aural nightmare. Oh my goodness. I thought it couldn't get worse, and then it got worse and different.
Yeah.
What do I think that is?
Yep.
It's not human, I don't think.
Okay.
So that narrows it down some. I think it's an animal.
Okay, I was
there's
ask,
no so way that, it... like, of
it's
course,
two
of course,
buildings in the wind.
Well, of course, weird sounds. It's like, well, it's secretly two glaciers sliding past each other.
The solar eclipse was this week.
Uh huh.
So
could be that sound.
Could be that
the screaming of the sun as God, it's covered.
We like. Maybe on Tuesday, everyone will have read the local USA Today's like, a lot of people forgot how much the sun can scream. How shrieking the sun sounded.
It's okay. It's definitely an animal.
Give me the first guess before the last listen.
In pain. I hope you wouldn't play something for me in pain, but I'm going to say it's like an owl species that's alerting other owls that there are predators about.
All right, we're gonna give it one more listen.
Oh, do we have to?
It's a different sound this time.
Oh my gosh. That's so... A 2-year-old having a temper tantrum? I feel like I've seen that happen before in public.
Yeah, this was a local Safeway. Mother of five... Joanna Smith.
Oh, so the mother had the temper tantrum. If I were a mother of five, I would also have a temper tantrum.
All right.
Okay.
You think it's an animal?
Yes.
Give me the animal.
bear cub.
Okay. Bear cub. Uh-huh. And why?
Because it's screaming for its mother. That's what I'm going to say.
Margaret.
Yep.
That was two Canada lynx in heat.
Oh.
It's springtime in the Canadian wilderness. It is their mating season. Now knowing that they are lynx, which is a type of cat.
I'm still shuddering from that sound.
Yeah. Have you ever heard regular domestic cats sound like that in any ways?
No.
Okay. Well, I know
that from cat owners that cats sometimes, if they're not fed exactly at the same time, that they will describe it as like screaming or screeching.
So it has a term, I guess, called caterwauling.
Oh, yes. I've heard that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Caterwauling.
Caterwauling. You might hear like in a back alley cats mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was two cats fighting. And when they're in heat, two men might come across each other, male lynxes.
Two men.
And they make this sound. And one might wonder, you're a big cat. Why can't you just be like, I have claws.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to
make
summon
that?
Yeah.
So that's the sound of males?
Uh-huh. Any Ooh. Guess at, I had not really considered why. I was just like, I don't know. You just make a sound.
Is it to advertise to females in the area? Like there's something about to go down. Come and pick your fighter.
Maybe that is not the reason I read
okay.
From this Live Science article. It was basically that it could act as a deterrent. Basically like to another male, if you hear something so, as you put it, sonically challenging, that you might be like, honestly, I'll just... I'll find somewhere
I
else.
Feel that way. I was deterred. I was repelled.
You wouldn't. You'd be like, you can have her.
Yeah.
So basically, there's thoughts that it could be like a deterrent to other males. Like, mm-hmm. okay, my God. Jeez, I'll go somewhere else. Oh, my gosh. This guy.
And it's loud.
It's very loud.
I mean, I'm sure in the mountains, it would bounce off and echo and create a real cacophony of caterwauling. That's an unforgettable sound clip there, Camden. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
I hope to never hear it again.
So let's head into the main segment of the show, the misconceptions. Every episode, we each bring a new misconception to share, to explain, and discuss. As a note, each co-host researches their own misconception on their own and brings it to the podcast. The other co-host, Margaret, has not heard mine. And I, Camden, that's me, has not heard Margaret's. We do this so that we can just listen. We can feel like you, the audience, we don't feel pressure to be right. We can just learn alongside everybody.
We feel a little pressure to be right, like factually.
Yeah, I guess as people having a science podcast, like
we feel pressure to be right.
If someone's like, what's milk? And I'm like, oh, water. That's mostly right. So we're going to go to wheelofnames.com. Margaret.
Old friend of the podcast.
Unofficial sponsor.
What? You can't be an unofficial sponsor.
Okay. Well, it. Okay. I'm just spinning. The excitement.
What sound would it make?
Margaret!
Hey.
Hey.
All righty.
You got all the little shoots, confetti, and everything.
Yes, thank you. Just like a real carnival.
Margaret. You get to go first. Is that cool with you?
And I want to, and I will.
And you must.
My sources today are National Geographic Kids, San Diego Wildlife Alliance, Forest Preserve District, Will County, and of course, Wikipedia, baby. So.
Sometimes I try to guess what the misconception is based off
okay,
of.
Okay, what do you think?
You said forest.
I said National Geographic Kids, San Diego Zoo, Wildlife Alliance, Forest Preserve District, Will County.
Oh, Will County, Maryland.
I don't know how you would ever.
Oh, deer. Are deer? Why don't deer have antlers?
Interesting. Huh. Well,
go ahead.
We'll talk off air. So I was hanging out with a friend a while ago, and we were talking about a certain insect. And they just happened to mention, oh, I think you can tell how old they are by how many spots they have. And I said, what? I've never heard this before. But apparently, it's a fairly common misconception.
Dalmatians.
That you can tell how old a...
German Shepherd.
Ladybug. A ladybug is by how many spots they have.
Wait, what?
That is a misconception.
Well, dang.
But
I think I never thought, and it's not true.
And it's not true. So it's okay to have not known that misconception. So, first of all, ladybugs. Do you have any formative memories of ladybugs, Camden, in your childhood?
Yeah. I loved being outside in the summer and letting... I would try to get one to crawl on my arm or like land on me. Mm-hmm. Whenever one landed on me, I felt very special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, summer, the only insects I ever really wanted on me were ladybugs and fireflies.
Not mosquitoes.
No, although I do get a lot of those on me.
Yeah. I have a formative memory of ladybugs. The church that my family used to go to had a garden, and I remember we would... at least once released a bunch of ladybugs from like a box into the garden.
For like a wedding or?
And no, for like a...
Oh, because they're predators.
Oh. Here are all the ladybugs. So we'll talk about this, why that might have been done in a little bit. So what are ladybugs? Well, we are some of the countries that call them ladybugs. Other countries call them ladybirds.
Katydids?
Different animal.
That's different. Different I didn't know animal. If they confused the term.
Sorry. Yes, ladybirds or lady beetles.
Cute.
And
so all ladies.
All ladies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Birds, beetles, bugs. There are about 5,000 species of ladybugs worldwide. 5,000.
Not one red and black dotted species.
No, there are many different colors, many different patterns. They are small insects belonging to the family. I did not practice this pronunciation. Cocinellidae.
You sound like John Travolta trying to pronounce.
Adele Nazim.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. In North America, though, the most common species that we see and that we think of the most is the seven-spotted ladybug. Now.
Wait.
Mm-hmm. You've spotted the issue. Can you tell me what's going through your head?
They're all seven? That's
of
crazy.
Of this species, there are only
they're all
always seven
years old.
Oh, wow. The circle has not met the square. That's okay. Ladybugs are not just found in North America, though. They're found all over the world. Inhabiting various areas, various ecosystems.
I bet they're one of those all continents except Antarctica kind of guys.
They might be. They might be because they're found in, of course, gardens a lot. Fields, forests. They can survive in urban areas. So they're really all over the place. They are called ladybugs because farmers... This is how the story goes anyway. Farmers would pray to Virgin Mary...
Okay.
Who is often called Our Lady for protection for their crops, for a good harvest, all of those things. And when the ladybugs came and ate all the pests that were killing their crops, they kind of associated those two things together. She's often called Our Lady. They called them ladybugs.
I've heard that ladybugs are very good predators.
They
despite
are.
Despite how little they are.
Yes. They eat a lot of different pests. Aphids are the ones you probably most commonly hear about. They can eat a lot of them. So let's talk about how ladybugs look.
Yes.
Again, the seven-spotted ladybug has seven spots. There are three. And now that I've seen it, I can't unsee it. There are three on each of their wings and then one right in the middle. So three on each half, and then one in the middle, and then they have those black heads with two white patches. Yes, Camden.
Yes. So I'm remembering now, in case anybody else, I had a moment where I knew ladybugs fly, and I was thinking of their wings, which are black.
Mm-hmm.
They are, well,
red. Insides.
So the insides are black. Mm-hmm. So here's where my issue was. Okay. I was like, wait. They pop out of the shell. So how many dots are on the shell? And then I was like, oh, yes, the wings, the red like body that we think of as a ladybug, those are its wings just folded perfectly.
Those are the outer
side of the wings.
Yeah, the hard shell.
Folded perfectly on top.
Correct.
And I was just, Maybe everybody else is like, yeah, Camden.
It's all right. It's all right.
But those have three dots each.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dot in the middle.
Yes. Like three black dots each, a black dot in the middle.
That splits in half.
Yes.
Okay.
And then two white dots on their black heads.
Which are not the eyes.
No.
Oh.
No. Of course, this is just one species. There are so many different, of course, colors and patterns. Why do you think they might be brightly colored and have different spots, Camden?
Well, brightly...
In some cases.
Brightly colored, I was thinking poison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They might not be poisonous, but they would make something that was trying to eat them think it's poisonous.
Yeah. Bright colors in nature often mean watch out.
Stay away.
Don't do this. You'll regret it.
The dots... for recognition, like for mates?
They think that that's also part of a deterrent as well.
Oh, okay.
Any spots or patterning. The truth is that some ladybugs can, I think most of them, if they're threatened, they can emit this oily, disgusting tasting liquid from their leg joints, basically their knees.
Hot.
Ugh. And so, kind of like butterflies, it does taste terrible. Hopefully the predator remembers that next time. But then there are lots of other ladybugs who don't emit that gross liquid, but they look a lot like the ones who do, kind of like a viceroy monarch situation.
We did an episode about the viceroys and I think Batesian and Mullerian mimicry.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget which one that is. But
me too.
Anyway, those two exist.
Ladybugs have something in common with opossums as well.
They're both marsupials.
They can both play dead.
Wait.
A ladybug can play dead.
Oh, this makes me feel bad now.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know. It's okay. It's okay. Don't dwell on that.
You're just going to go past that?
The other ladybug that we see a lot is I think it's called the Asian beetle.
I've heard the Asian beetle is like a...
Mm-hmm.
But do they get a bad rap? Are they just a different ladybug?
They're just a different species of ladybug.
Okay.
They are really interesting in that they can have a range of spots. So they can, Asian lady beetles can have no spots or...
Yeah, I've seen that.
16 spots or more than 16. So they really, really vary. So you can see... Oh, there's also a 12-spotted ladybug as well. Again, 5,000 varieties. I'm not going to go over them all today. What do you see as the problem with this misconception that we can tell how old a ladybug is by their spots, Camden?
That if they all have 7 spots in some cases, it must be that they were born with 7 spots. So there's no indication for age.
That's correct. And ladybugs typically have a lifespan of 2 to 3 years. So
it's a lot older than I thought.
Oh yeah, it's a long time for months. A little beetle. But if you see a 16 spotted ladybug, there's no way that they are 16 years old.
I'm still troubled by the play dead. So when I see a ladybug that I have assumed was dead, should I just put it outside?
I think so. Right. I think so. Or just let it chill.
Leave it be.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I found we were talking about aphids before. Adult ladybugs can eat up to 75 aphids every day.
What?
It's a lot. So they really are wonderful pest control.
Oh my goodness.
But they are not native to North America, from what I was reading. They are actually native to Europe, but were brought over here in the early and mid 1900s to help with crops. It's kind of like earthworms. You assume they've always been here, but they have not. Just because they're numerous doesn't mean they're native. Isn't that wild?
Well, that's just wild to think that, like, this thing I take for granted as same as earthworms, mm-hmm. like 100-some-odd years ago,
mm-hmm.
People living here be like, what is that thing you're talking about? Yeah. I don't know what that is.
The 7-spotted ladybug was brought here in the mid-1900s to help with aphid reduction.
Wow.
Very recent, comparatively. Also, I did not know this before, that ladybugs have larval and pupal stages just like a butterfly does. If you look up what a ladybug larva looks like, they are spiky. They look like a little spiky caterpillar. It is unreal. And I've seen them before and not known what they were, but that's just the larval form before they pupate and become their ladybug adult forms. Are you looking at a picture?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I thought these things were like fireflies, but weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of look like a Latin bug.
Because they've got orange spots on them, right?
Yeah.
So.
Whoa.
In conclusion, to me, a lot of my life, ladybugs have been kind of like squirrels or robins, where I take them for granted. They're just sort of part of the furniture. But really, they are fascinating. You can tell what species a ladybug is from their spots, but really that's it.
Whoa. Thanks, Margaret.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Can I give you some more facts that I didn't get to in my outline? Great, thanks.
Bonus time.
Bonus free
science.
Bonus time. I think I covered everything, actually, all except right. for, hold on.
I was going to say, bonus number one.
They are seen as good luck in a lot of cultures.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Bonus number two.
Ladybugs are the official state insect of Delaware, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Ohio, and Tennessee.
Wow. Bonus number three.
There are 175 species of ladybugs in California alone. And that's all the bonus facts I have for you. Thank you so much, everyone. Great job, ladybugs. I didn't know how to wrap it up. They're really Clearly, fascinating. They I take are. It for granted. They're so fascinating.
Thanks, Margaret.
You're very welcome.
Wow.
I'd love to hear your misconception.
Good. I wasn't going to do it till you asked, like a vampire.
Oh, please,
but
sir.
Who knows science. Weird. All right, Margaret. Let's say there's a carnivorous version of you that exists in an alternate reality, one that's not vegan. Okay, imagine, what would her name be?
Charizard.
Weirdo. Sure. So Charizard goes to a nice restaurant, orders a steak, cooked rare, medium rare, and then cuts into it and sees red juice start.
Why'd you say it like that? Juice.
Juice. Red juice start to pool on their plate. What is that red stuff?
Yuck. It's just all yuck. I would say, and based on the fact that you're bringing it to the table today, I would have thought it was blood, because I've heard people describe it like that. Like, I want it to be still bloody in the middle. A lot of people say it like that, exactly like that.
Well, Margaret, let's dig into the misconception that blood is what comes out of a rare steak.
Bum, 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 bum.
My citations this week are from Michigan State University Extension Office of Agriculture, The Chemistry of Grilling by the American Chemical Society, and The Exploratorium. Wee.
Lovely. What a variety of... I wish I had known those sources, because I wonder if I could have guessed
You know what? I'm going to start playing that game.
Me too.
I will start putting the citations first.
The grilling one maybe would have given it away.
Maybe. You're right. I should have done that.
It's all right. We live and we learn.
Margaret, I'm just going to give it to you right off the bat. The red liquid is myoglobin, not blood.
But globin makes me think of hemoglobin, so are those things related?
Good job, Margaret. What does what is hemoglobin?
Blood.
It's in blood.
It's the cells.
It is in our red blood cells.
Okay.
What is...
We're narrowing it down.
What is this? So I'll give you one thing.
Okay.
This maybe won't help a ton, but things that end in insulin, hemoglobin.
Protein?
Myoglobin, melanin, keratin.
It's proteins.
Okay. Okay. So this... Because it's a protein, it's a thing in the cell. It's not the cell itself.
Gotcha.
It's in red blood cells.
Uh-huh.
What is the job of a red blood cell? Particularly, what is the job of hemoglobin?
The job of a red blood cell and hemoglobin is to give us nutrition throughout our body.
Specific. So our blood carries a lot of nutrients.
Yes.
Sugar, like blood sugar,
mm-hmm.
things like that, different nutrients. Hemoglobin in red blood cells specifically carries
one
specific thing, oxygen.
Oxygen. We said it at the same time.
We said it at the same time. We'll get that in editing. So it carries oxygen. Myoglobin stores oxygen as well.
Okay.
It specifically only stores oxygen in muscle cells. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Myoglobin only stores. Okay.
So already, what do we know about meat? Like if you are someone who eats meat, animal meat.
There's so much to know.
What is the meat that we're eating? What is that meat? Is it?
Cow.
Okay, it could be beef, right? Uh-huh. But is it the hair? Is it fat?
It's the flesh part.
What's the flesh?
The muscles?
Yeah.
Is it muscles?
It's muscle.
Oh, okay.
So myoglobin is in muscle cells.
So you're going to find a lot of myoglobin in the meat that you might eat.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you this. The more myoglobin there is, so myoglobin.
He is shaking his finger at me,
The more myoglobin there is, the more red it is.
Okay.
Okay. And that's just a characteristic of the molecule myoglobin.
Uh-huh.
When it comes in contact with oxygen, it turns red.
Okay.
All right.
When it comes in contact. Okay.
So, yes. So already there, I just want to make sure. So we're good on
meat.
That. Yes. Mm-hmm. So one question might be, why does beef, like steak, tend to be the thing that bleeds, quote unquote, even though we know now it's not blood?
Because there's a lot of oxygen in those muscles.
Specifically, well, think about this. There's oxygen exposed when you are, most people eat beef in a place with oxygen, for they are alive and they need to
eat.
And
they are on Earth.
And they are on Earth, and they are on this planet Earth.
Uh-huh.
You could eat, let's say you have a plate of chicken in front of you, beef, pork. The beef is going to be, quote unquote, the reddest. It'll have the most blood, quote unquote, which again, we all know it's not blood.
Yep.
Red liquid will come out of it. What might that tell you about what there is maybe more of in beef?
Myoglobin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's more myoglobin in there.
Oh, yeah. You don't eat chicken. Ugh. Well.
Yeah. No one's ever like, look at that chicken bleed.
Longer. Like you won't, the blood, quote unquote, only comes out when you have it rare.
So.
Does it cook into the meat when you.
That is such a great question, Margaret. Thank you so Why much. Is it when you cook a steak longer, there's no longer any quote unquote blood. So one thing I'm going to talk about too is that red liquid is, I said it's myoglobin. Myoglobin is not a liquid, right?
It's plasma.
Myoglobin is a protein, right?
Because it ends in IN.
Uh-huh. So it's just a thing that holds on to oxygen for your muscles. What is that thing that makes it look? So the red is coming from the myoglobin. What is the liquid part that makes people think it's blood coming out of your steak?
Water?
It's just water.
Okay.
A lot of your body is water. Most things in general, if you're like, what is this liquid coming out of me? A big bet, a lot of it's water.
Uh-huh.
Even blood is a lot of water. One interesting thing I never thought about. Like if you go to a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
The steaks look really good.
Okay.
And in a go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, not knowing anything about meat or myoglobin, is there a temptation to pump more myoglobin into a steak to make it look redder?
I mean, I don't know if there's a myoglobin extract.
Okay, I don't know. But, I'm just guessing. Like I feel like anything could be manipulated to make it look quote-unquote, like, juicier or whatever.
So there is a bit of that, which is, think about, if you're at a store, there's, like, packaged steak that you know in the packaged, like, meats. I know you don't hang around there a lot.
I trust you.
But if you can remember as a kid, like, the packaged ones, like hamburger.
Never had a steak. Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
And then
meat
counter.
Yes.
Those steaks look particularly, like, fresh.
I will take your word for it.
They're a brighter red. All right, okay. I'm just telling you.
Brighter red.
They look fresh. They look
redder than exciting. The hamburger, like meat, ground beef. Okay.
Because those are in a vacuum sealed container.
Oxygen deprived.
So in the butcher counter, what is there?
Oxygen's all over that place.
So the meat looks
redder.
So it does, in a way, Margaret, it is sort of like making you excited. People might think, oh, it's fresh because there's oxygen there.
Mm-hmm.
If you take your meat out of the like container, if it's the same like grade of meat, it'll look just as red.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was interesting. But Margaret, your other question earlier is, why then is a well-done steak not red?
Red anymore. Uh-huh.
Myoglobin, like all proteins, denatures when you do what to it?
Heat it.
You heat it. Most proteins will break down to some extent when you heat them up.
Mm-hmm.
Myoglobin is the same. A well-done steak has, what's different about it than a rare steak?
Safer to eat.
Well, we're gonna get to that. It's been cooked longer.
Yes.
And so that myoglobin has been denatured. Mm-hmm. It becomes less red. In fact, when it denatures, it turns brown.
Yes. Okay. It turns brown.
Which
Except
makes
sometimes
sense.
It turns gray. Have okay, you ever seen like a gray hamburger?
I think that's like old meat. I don't. So, but it turns brown. So
yes.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. We think of it, oh, it's been cooked longer,
mm-hmm.
which is true, but it's not, you're not just seeing it turn dark because it's like, if the myoglobin is denaturing, it goes from red to brown.
Yes.
So you can't, one big thing, the big part of this misconception is you can't just assume that brown equals cooked.
Oh.
So it has been cooked longer. It is denatured and maybe been cooked at a higher temperature internally.
Mm-hmm.
So it denatured.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't always assume, and I'm going to get to that. First off, I just ran down this rabbit hole of why do we even need myoglobin? Like our blood has hemoglobin.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of taking oxygen from our blood, passing it to a muscle, mm-hmm. and then being like, here, myoglobin, hold on to this for me.
Right.
Like, why is that? You have any thoughts? I just thought that was interesting. There was like a middleman.
Does it hold on to it better?
So it does hold on to it. Myoglobin holds on to oxygen better than hemoglobin. So that was one.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if the oxygen is like sitting right on your muscles, just ready,
mm-hmm.
it's what allows your muscles to like,
spring into action.
Uh-huh. So I just thought that was, huh. I was just kind of like, why do we even need that?
Mm-hmm.
But to get to the one other thing too, which is the birds or like poultry,
mm-hmm.
beef, pork, what is going on with them?
Mm-hmm.
This connects to us too. Myoglobin or muscles that are very red have a lot of myoglobin and oxygen. Myoglobin is seen in slow twitch. More of it is seen in slow twitch muscles. Have you heard slow and fast twitch before?
I have not.
Okay. It's a word used in sports a lot, so I didn't know if it
had permeated my
worldview.
No.
Slow twitch muscles are those that are used for continuous acts of energy.
Okay.
So standing, your legs have a lot of slow twitch, not mm-hmm. all over, but standing, walking, mm-hmm. things that just require oxygen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. They need myoglobin holding on to that oxygen ready.
Mm-hmm.
Fast twitch muscles, as you could gather, are muscles that do what?
Go fast. Yeah. Punch.
So
kick.
Your fingers are fast twitch muscles, uh-huh. things that need to react quickly. They tend to have less myoglobin and more glycogen, which is a sugar source.
Okay.
So they get that energy quicker that way.
And they don't need to sustain it for as long.
Yes.
Okay.
And so if you have less myoglobin, your color of your muscles will be less
red.
Red.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you a question. Beef has
a
lot of
myoglobin.
So it has slow or fast twitch?
Slow.
Chicken.
They're all legs, those chickens. They're fast twitch. Uh-huh. They're running around.
So
that's where that movie came from.
So they have more or less myoglobin?
Less.
Yep. So mm-hmm. their meat is not
red.
Yes.
Okay.
So you think about it, yeah, chickens run around, cows kind of just stand. And standing still requires muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was interesting.
What about fish?
Fish are a great question, Margaret.
Thank you.
I looked up this. What's your thought? Why did you ask about fish?
Well, because they're meat is like typically white,
mm-hmm.
although sometimes it's pink and sometimes it's blue.
Yeah, but typically white.
Typically white.
Yep. Which would tell you what?
There's no myoglobin in there.
Not as much.
Not as much.
But why are you questioning?
Because, well, a lot is coming up. Why can you eat raw? Well, why do people eat raw beef and not raw chicken or raw fish?
People do eat raw fish.
Oh, they do eat raw fish, don't they? Yes, they do. That's the whole sushi thing, isn't it? But they don't eat raw chicken. Why is that?
I don't. It's not this misconception.
Okay. My other, well, okay.
So fish don't stand.
They don't stand. So
that was what I researched, which is why don't they have.
Are they all fat? They're all fast twitch?
Not all. I don't think I could say all, but they are more so, yes.
Okay.
Because they're not saying they're floating.
They're floating. Yeah. That's true. They're just, their body's job is largely propulsion.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. So I, again, wanted people to know because the next time someone cuts into a steak, if you got that like weird uncle who's like, I want my steak still mooing. I want it bloody. Be like, Grandpa, there's no, Uncle Grandpa, there's no blood in that. Because that's what butchering was.
Like,
it is one of those, like, think about it for a second. You think they're transporting the meat still with blood in it? What?
So, here's what I'm wondering, too.
Yeah.
If there's, so there's a lot of myoglobin in slow twitch muscles.
Uh-huh.
If there's not a lot of myoglobin, then those are from fast twitch muscles, which means they're getting the meat from a totally different part of the body. And so it might look browner when you cook it before.
Potentially. Before? I didn't Google like where like short or slow or fast twitch muscles might be in beef.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to, thank you for bringing us the point coming home is there is an important, I mean, besides just like knowledge,
mm-hmm.
There's a food safety part of this, which is you cannot rely on color just to indicate if it's safe to eat.
Oh boy.
But to your point, Margaret, if we already know that fish are not like white doesn't tell you if it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And same with beef, like red doesn't tell you if it's done. It tells you how much myoglobin it is. Mm-hmm. It has. And brown, while that might tell you it is getting, or it's been under heat longer, we also know that as it's using that oxygen, it will turn brown. So some of it too is how long
just
is that
exposure to oxygen?
How long has it been in oxygen?
Interesting.
And there's premature browning is a thing. So in the food safety world, things can just brown faster for not necessarily unknown reasons, but just like it's not a reliable. It always
across
will be this
board.
Color.
Uh huh.
Use a meat thermometer. We use food thermometers, Margaret and I, and we are both vegetarian, vegan. Mm-hmm. It is good to know the internal temperature of your food because not just as like when we talk about your meat being cooked and not like they are killing so many different bacteria that might be there. You need to know the temperature of your food. It needs to be heated up to a safe level to kill off things that could hurt you.
Can I make a quick plug?
Yes.
If you are sitting out there and you're like, oh, I'm so tired of having to make 100% sure that my meat's cooked to an internal temperature of a particular thing.
If
you're tired of being like, oh, did I cut the chicken on that cutting board or did I cut the lettuce or something? Try vegetarianism out, baby. It makes things so easy. I didn't know people had to wash cutting boards because I've never really eaten meat. I've certainly never like cooked meat at all. I didn't know that was a thing you had to worry about. If you're already anxious, like myself, come on over. The water is slightly less anxious over here.
She says cautiously.
You just don't have to worry about that stuff. You just don't have to worry about it. Thanks, Camden.
There you go.
That was really interesting.
Thanks. I think we both did a bang up job.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Well, that means it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah, it is. So something we're reading, watching, interested, consuming this week. Before we end every episode, we share something we've been consuming. Margaret.
Thank you. Yes. I have been consuming quite a few books. My recommendations so far for this year are Mink River by Brian Doyle. Incredible book. If you're interested in sort of a fictional take on the beauty of the Pacific Northwest, it's stunning. It's captivating. I also really enjoyed The Undesired which is by an Icelandic author whose name escapes me right now, but it's called The Undesired. This author writes a lot of very spooky, 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 spooky books, even more than Stephen King. Their books are consistently the ones that make me turn the light on when I'm reading them. So, although I do need light to see, you see what I mean. So I've been consuming a lot of books. Camden, what have you been consuming?
I'm going to give a plug to the podcast KC Revival.
Mm-hmm.
So it features local Kansas City comedians doing fun characters, being interviewed on like a fake podcast show, although it's a real podcast. Mm-hmm. If you've ever listened to the podcast Comedy Bang Bang, it's very similar to that. Funny people come up with fun characters, and then we just talk to them and play with them in fun worlds. So check out the podcast KC Revival on wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks, Camden. Also, I wanted to mention Palestine. Genocide is still going on. If it's escalating all the time. If you are consuming anything, please make some of it be the news about what's going on. Just keep abreast of it. You can make sure that your legislators consume your phone calls and your emails demanding a ceasefire and to stop providing money and weapons to Israel.
Thank you, Margaret.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. If you like this episode or any others, please, please consider rating us and leaving us a quick review. Written reviews help listeners decide if they want to give a podcast a try. So help us and new listeners out by giving a quick positive review.
We also have a bookshop site. If you're not familiar with Bookshop, it helps readers find books at independent bookstores while giving a percentage of any books purchased to the folks that recommended them. In this case, that's us. So you can support us and small bookshops, small businesses, by checking out our bookshop page at bookshop.org/shop/don't-pee-on-your-leg.
You can find more content from us at our social media page on Instagram at don't-pee-on-your-leg.
Original music is by Camillo.
If you have scientific misconceptions that you would like explained, want to provide feedback to us, or just want to say hi, please email us at don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com.
Have a great week.